I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena!
Well, look at this, prima donna!
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot!
Welcome, everybody, to 1-900 Wrestling. This is the show featuring myself, Willie Dills, and Lane, where we talk about all the things going on in the current world of wrestling. And if you want to support the show, you can do so by joining us at patreon.com/1900wrestling. And that's where you can get in on the Discord, which is Lane is now in there chatting away with all of our fine fans and patrons in there. So it's a great place to watch wrestling. There's a lot of stuff coming up that's going to be very interesting to talk about, particularly the Saudi Arabia show, if that actually happens. But we'll get into all of that right now on the show. So welcome to the show, Lane. Good to see you again, buddy.
Good to see you too, man. Yeah, I've been in that Discord, like in there, like swimwear. We've been we've been talking topics.
There is it's a really fun place to be because it's very clear from the get-go, the moment you get in there, that we have some super inside baseball talk going on in that Discord. Like everybody is a mega wrestling fan in there.
And I'll just start topics. So if you're in there, and then so I'll just like some of the topics from today, I'll just be like, "What's your thoughts on this?" And man, they attach to it and eat it up.
Yeah,
like,
and then suddenly heated discussion happens. Opinion. It's great.
Yeah, and it's great. It's great.
I also am in the 1-900 Wrestling Fantasy Football League right now, and I'm currently 4-2. I think I'm 4-2. I'm actually doing pretty well. I was really surprised because I did the thing, the big thing that is a huge mistake in fantasy football. I picked 49ers because I'm a 49er fan. So I picked like Jimmy Garoppolo. And then the second week of the season, he goes down for the year. I was thinking that I was just done. But luckily, Tyreek Hill and Kelsey are just carrying me right now. So,
and that's another thing too. People have been doing a lot of smack talk.
Oh yeah,
of the fantasy football in there.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's really cool that we have not just like the wrestling talk, but we started up other little things. You know,
yeah.
It really makes it feel like a whole little community that's close knit. You know, all right, so let's get into wrestling, man, because there's a lot to talk about. Yeah, last week's show we just kind of took some time to get to know you a little bit. Yep. We did also have a lot of pay per view stuff to catch up on. No pay per view stuff, but I guess this is the closest SmackDown we'll get to trying to be a pay-per-view style event, and that SmackDown 1000 happened last night. What'd you think? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I'd give it a, let's see, I'll give it a, what is it, out of 900? Is that the
yeah,
scale?
Yeah, from 1 to 900.
I'll give it a 700.
Okay.
Or a 600.
All right, so above average. It was weird, I would say.
Yes.
The opening was bizarre, because he opened with R-Truth and Carmella.
Yeah,
and not the faces you expect this.
And I was comparing it to Raw 25 mm-hmm. from a few months ago, and I'm like, well, SmackDown's going to struggle. This is the only time they're going to, because they have that hour. They have that hour less than Raw.
Sure.
So that's less.
They're trying to pack in a whole bunch of you know, nostalgia moments and stuff. It makes it hard. Yeah.
And that's what I'm like. Okay, this is what I thought was going to happen with the Carmella and R-Truth thing, that all the McMahons are going to come out, and then someone like how Austin did at 25. Is going to come out and be like the, ooh, I hate the authority, whatever.
Yeah.
And we got nothing.
No. We got Dance Break, which, again, was weird. I mean, look, I enjoyed that segment. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
It was fine. And it made me feel like, okay, they're not going to take this too seriously, which I also, you know, I don't really like it when, like, Raw 25, I just would rather have watched a regular Raw. You know what I mean? Like all these things where you have the old timers come in and then bury the you know, new talent. And I'm like, I don't need this.
It like was DX at the end, right? Like they had the club or.
Yeah.
No, it was the revival. It was the club and
they
DX.
Beat the revival.
It was all weird. Yeah.
And then they also, Raw 25 did that weird thing where they had half the show at, what was
the
it?
The poker game?
Yeah. Well, no, they had half the show in like another arena, right?
And it was Madison Square Gardens, right? Or was it the other? And people were falling asleep.
Yeah, because apparently like nothing was going on when it wasn't on TV. Like literally nothing, which is crazy to me. But so anyway, this was, it was very clear from the start. It was going to be a little bit less serious than that. We did get some nostalgia moments, which obviously you're going to have to.
Yeah.
By the way, Shane McMahon came out. I haven't seen him in ages. Where's
he been?
Hurt, or was he just... They just didn't have anything for him to do. I'm not really sure. It wasn't.
Well, I think it's like this McMahon effect because like Stephanie's been doing it. Vince, Vince is elderly now. We see him twice a year, but I think we see him closer to like a Survivor Series each year because what happens is that's the road to that's the official start to the road, and that's where everything usually starts.
And then
for
he starts to ramp up for his one big leap off of something. Yeah.
Or a helicopter. Like, sure. I think really it's their summer off because we think of like all the other like wrestlers don't get any time off really, but you got to think they're probably doing a lot more than most. So,
yeah.
But also like this is their shoving them in that key storyline. Let's see who.
Yeah, Shane's they're reminding us that he still exists. Then we had a tag match, the Usos versus AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. It was very clear to me that when this was the match, that essentially we were going to get a bunch of throwaway matches in this, pay-per-view, in this SmackDown 1000. And this kind of was, but also it was good because it was a good match. And then the Usos won because they're an actual tag team, right?
Yeah, because usually we've seen these for decades now. It's usually the non-tag team will beat the tag team, and then they'll be like, oh, but we still hate each other. Like,
because
this one's a little different than most. It's the storyline or the angle of we're two people that respect each other, but we still, like, and since we didn't cover, like, we're covering last week's as well, they did a really, really good AJ Daniel Bryan Miz promo where they just made fun of Miz the whole time and buried him. And that was great. And that's how you kind of saw where this was going. And this is just ramping up everything. And this is Crown Jewel, right? So that's November 2nd or 3rd, that Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is just, you know, super fun to just put those two against each other. Like, I think everybody wants to see that. Then we got another little package of old SmackDown GMs backstage. Sure. Like, all this kind of stuff is always kind of fun. It was a weird, you know, weird backstage packages are just part of what WWE does. And yeah, it was fun. But now we get, I think, which is maybe the most interesting part, was the Evolution reunion.
This is what people came in for. This is what people tuned in for. This is if they didn't have this. This is where I'll say the Discord went crazy. We had a ball of a time.
Sure. And so basically, like, they all just come out, a la old school Evolution, the way they just all four of them walk out. And it was really, like, Batista was clearly very excited to be there.
Yes.
And he's been talking on Twitter a lot about wanting to come back. WWE not inviting him to certain things. He's not really sure why it's such a hard nut to crack or something. It seems weird. Like, why wouldn't WWE just want the hell out of Batista if he wants to be there, right?
He's a moneymaker. He's their golden calf. He's the guy. Like, even he got his SmackDown 1000 invite late. Like, he tweeted out, hey, I still have, and then people went crazy.
Yeah, no, the people, like, this is not like it was when he came back last time where it was, oh, we're putting Batista over the guy we want. Like, Daniel Bryan's storyline has come and gone, that we're not in the midst of that anymore. There's not going to be Blue Tista backlash if he comes back now. And in fact, he could just come back as a straight up babyface and people would love him.
Oh, yeah. Giant pop. People were chaining for him the whole time. There were some woos every now and then, but you could tell, like,
yeah, it was good. So the interesting part of it all, though, was it got a little contentious. So Randy Orton was being Randy Orton, which is, you know, an ornery asshole. And that's fine. But then Batista essentially calls out Triple H, and that was awesome. Right. I would love to see this.
And you skipped a little. There was a little thing right there when he made everyone laugh, like he broke character, and he was talking about Ric Flair's hand, and he made, like, was it something about getting his hand down his pants or something real weird, and it made everyone break character. And that's what you're like, okay, you can tell he's actually having fun with this. They're letting him go. And then when he called out Triple H, that's when everything.
So it got a little serious. Then they hugged it out, but it's very clear that this is just planting a seed, right? So
they panned right to Triple H's face.
Yeah.
and it was like, ha ha ha, I'm evil. Like, ha ha ha, I'm not kidding. Just
it's like the telltale, the telltale games, like Triple H is going to remember that.
Yeah, yeah, like the little notification at the top popped up, and that's another thing too. I as a fan, I don't know what Batista has going on. Like, I know Guardians is on hold and everything. This would be a perfect time. He's always said he wanted to go against Triple H as one last time, but I don't know where they're going to fit him in at. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I thought they came to blows here. That would be great, but does that mean he's going to show up somewhere? I don't know. We just got to keep watching. I guess that's where they get us.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I could see this kind of coming to a head at a WrestleMania type of thing. That you know, that would be a pretty sweet match. They're not going to have the, I think the Undertaker stuff is all just for the Saudi Arabia thing, and then that's all going to be over. I don't think that's a continued storyline. Although they have really been going hard on that one.
Every time we talk about Saudi Arabia, I always think of an asterisk next to it, because we still have no idea what's going on.
Well, we'll get to that in a little bit, because there is a lot to unpack there. We had Miz defeat Rusev. This continued the Aiden English versus Rusev thing, which I'm semi-interested in. I mean, I get, you know, they were just a fine pair. I just want to see Rusev bust out on his own so badly, man.
Yeah,
just,
like a title shot or something. And
yeah,
I
would like to see an actual title. Yeah,
as a worker myself, seeing what the storyline is going to go, because what happens is Rusev's going to probably go out strong for this, like just and what's going to happen to Aiden English, like what. He was the one when first the Vaudevillains broke up.
Yeah,
we were all like, okay, what's going to happen? And he was kind of struggling there. And then when he got with Rusev, we're like, all right, this is hilarious. And then now we just got to see, because we all know Rusev's great. It's just,
yeah,
we got to see what Aiden English can do.
The interesting thing to me is Aiden English. Aiden English is a good wrestler. Mm-hmm. And if they have, you know, a couple of matches, they will be good matches. I think eventually I'd like to see Aiden English get into a sweet little mid-card feud against like someone like Elias. But the problem is, who do you turn face there? You know what I mean? He to me is like a solid mid-card guy who can carry.
And he's huge.
Yeah.
You forget how jacked he is. Same with Elias. Well,
when I saw him at Hell in a Cell, like he was really good just in the ring. Just really good, you know?
And I think that's what they forget about too. And that's because the Vaudevillains, as we all know, at the end kind of faded a little there, and then once he got this character back with his singing, maybe you can put him with Elias and have like a singing and a guitar. I don't know, but I'm worried about that. But with Rusev, no worries. I know he's great.
Yeah, Rusev's gonna be fine. They just need to cut him loose, man. Let him go.
And this was too, I think we haven't talked about this. This was a World Cup qualifying match.
Oh, that's right.
And if you say, what's a World Cup qualifying match, I'll tell you. It is a bunch of old men so far. So who we have? We have Jeff, John Cena. So Jeff Hardy, John Cena, The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
Who else we at?
Kurt Angle. Well, the Conquistador, excuse me.
I hope he comes up. come out as that stupid Conquistador. And then we got one later tonight. There's another qualifying match. And it's not for a title. It's not for a number one contender, right? It's just to be told.
You're the World Cup champion, I guess.
I hope that's not like what they did with Braun Strowman in the Greatest Royal Rumble, because remember they gave him a belt and they gave him, and then we never saw it again.
No, no, yeah.
Like, this is fine. Like, the World Cup, we'll see where it goes. But I was hoping it was just going to be a bunch of old guys. Well, if you classify,
I was kind of hoping it was going to be people from different parts of the world, but apparently it's all dudes from America. So
that's what Rusev did. Rusev tweeted out today. If it's only people from America, can it be called the U.S. Cup?
Sure.
They drop the world?
It's just weird. The whole thing is weird. I mean, whatever. It's just going to be a bunch of matches to fill the time at that pay-per-view. Yeah. And they'll be good matches, I'm sure. But nobody really cares. All right. Then we have Edge come out. Do a cutting edge or whatever. Was that what they called it? Cutting edge.
Oh, yeah.
So he comes out. Becky Lynch comes. Well, first of all, it's good to see Edge again. He looks great. It's funny to think about, like, Jeff Hardy is still wrestling and Edge isn't, right? And you're just like,
yeah,
man, that's crazy. Jeff Hardy, like, somebody posted this. Somebody posted this on Reddit that he debuted before guys like like Undertaker and Cena and all this kind of, like he'd been around before them, and he's like kind of just still fine. Even though we keep hearing about how he's hurt, he's just fine.
Always just heals back. He's just like that Hell in a Cell, like you saw it live, like when he was swinging. That was great.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy. Anyway, so that was just a little tangent there. But Becky Lynch comes out. She still gets a pop. She's still very much playing the heel, but she's not playing the fans gave up on me heel thing, which they started with, because clearly that's never going to work. And then she was kind of a bitch to Edge, but everybody loved it. It was great.
Well, because how it started was, I think while people were watching the Cutting Edge, the show within the show, we were realizing how much this was like him back in the day. And this that's the correlation he was making.
Yeah.
And when he came back with his last run, it was him and John Cena. They wrestled forever. And then they see each other as friends now. And then so now Edge in kayfabe is a face when he comes back. And that's what he was trying to tell Becky. Like, you may have all these titles, but you're alone. And as a good heel should. And then made a neck joke.
Yeah. Yeah, she said, don't hurt your neck when you can step out of the ring.
Ugh.
Then Charlotte comes out. They brawl. It's very clear that these two hate each other. She is going to be alone. It was, you know, it was really one of those, like, I like segments like this because you're right. Like, the kayfabe is real here. You know what I mean? And in a world where kayfabe is broken all the time now, it is kind of fun to see it, you know, to have it be like, we're pretending this is how it actually is.
They're not telling you. They're having to, and this is what Marvel does really well, too. And it's like, you have to remember Edge's career. Mm-hmm. He's not talking about it, but in your mind, there's a spark saying, hey, this is just like this. And it was so good. And with last week on SmackDown, like Charlotte speared her through Becky through the LEDs. I think this is going to be a gimmick match at Evolution, either a last woman standing, as they're calling it now, or if they do like a no DQ, which should be a little different. But yeah, this, and you can tell like this match is going to be really good. I think they had the best match on SmackDown last week by far.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. And I was like, man, they're going to have a title match on SmackDown. Okay. And then it all just devolved into craziness. And I was like, all right, I get it now. All right, then we have the Bar becomes the new tag team champions by beating the New Day with a little help from a friend.
The new name being, what is it? The Bar Show?
The Bar Show.
I think what they tweeted out. Okay. I was going to call it the Big Bar.
Are they going to be like a three-man? They can do
like a favorite role? Like, maybe, but for those that wrestle with the title. Like it. For those of that didn't watch it, there you're wanting to listen to the catch up. Big Show came out. Big Show with his qualifying match last week against Randy Orton. Oh yeah, that's another person that made it. Randy Orton. There we go. Big Show came back, and then now he came out, and you thought he was going to save the New Day, but now he choke slammed one through a table, and that's after they won. That was a thing too. That means they changed titles. The Bar won. They're doing they're flopping titles back and forth. Like the hot.
So, the hot potatoing the titles.
Yeah.
Because
that was a big thing. So
Sheamus hits the Brogue Kick on, I believe it was Biggie. And one, two, three, new tag team titles or title holders. And I love the Bar. I love New Day. If they add Big Show into the mix, fine. Get some sweet 6-man tag matches going on. I'm all for it. Then we had.
You would think you would want him to add to a team that needs help. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Usually, when
to me, like it's fine just because New Day is the 3-man stable, so it's hard to, you know.
That's true.
You're constantly could do like a having threat, to figure out who's on the outside and everything like that. So now you just put them 3v3 and John Cena does a little pre-taped thing.
That hair
remembering
ridiculous.
Stuff yeah
gosh that ridiculous
yeah and that was fine but then we get main event, which is Rey Mysterio's return to WWE. So he's back, he looks good.
That's great.
I mean, we knew he looked good because if you've been paying attention to indie wrestling, he's been looking good in indie wrestling for a while now, but this is he's essentially, I think I heard it was a 2-year contract full time, and he's just gonna be on SmackDown every week, I guess. So
yeah, that's one thing I was talking about in the Discord was I was hoping they would just give him a match, which happened. Like, I didn't want both of them to come out and then some, I said, tomfoolery happened where, like, Shinsuke wins by like a kick to the balls. Yeah, nut kick. Or someone comes out to challenge Rey and then distracts him or something. But he does this, I don't know how to call the, I'm going to call it like a super slide. Like, I don't know how to say it. It was like a suicide dive, but from under the bottom rope.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he slid his, that little tiny body, which is not little tiny. I looked it up. He's like 5'7". So he was like under the bottom rope, or he slid, and then he like kind of landed. It was all weird. It was great. I got to see him at his, one of his last indie matches at All In.
Oh,
when
nice.
He dressed
yeah.
as Wolverine. And I'm like, yeah, he can't wait. But yeah, he did he great. And Ray won, right? Yeah,
Ray. Yeah, Ray hit the 619. And then a frog splash and pinned him. So clean victory. I mean, it was just one of those things where it's like Ray and Shinsuke. Yes, that sounds good to me. And it was good. It was a lot of fun. And I'm excited for what they end up doing with him. I think, you know, hopefully he gets a title run of some sort while he's here, because, yeah, he's like, I swear to God, he got stem cell injections or something, because his knees were supposed to be
gone,
completely destroyed, and now he's just bouncing around the ring like he's, you know, and he's in his mid-40s or something like that.
Mid-40s, early 40s, but yeah. You especially if you have him on Instagram when it's him without the mask, like he'll cover up his mouth or something, like you can tell like he's up there. But man, same with Jeff Hardy, they just can go,
they just keep going. Yeah,
same with R-Truth, man, they can just go.
I know R-Truth is super old, but the abs on that man are not. All right, so Undertaker finishes the show with a Generation X rest in peace thing. So
I was a little mad about that. That was the only one that I was kind of, because throughout the whole show, they're like, Undertaker gonna be there.
Oh yeah.
Doing something. And if this is how I feel, cause it's on one of my lists. It's on my bucket list to see Undertaker live before he retires. And I know I'm getting my time crunch.
Your time is running out on that one, yeah.
And the problem I had was like, let's say someone wanted to go see that show in DC, and they're like, I want to see Undertaker. I want to see him, like, cut a good promo or do something little. Like, because remember, like, he's such a big SmackDown. Like, that was one of his things, and he said three sentences in the last 4 minutes of the show.
Well, he did his super slow walk out. He did all that. I mean, the entrance is just, it's the funniest thing to me, because it's, people go nuts for a man slowly walking to the ring, which is great.
Oh, but, and it's goosebumps. Like, yeah. And I'm sure live, like, it's just, it takes your breath away. And that's when he just gets in, and that, and I called it when he was walking out. I said, he's, because this is what they tell you when you cut a promo, say the event, who are you against, threaten them.
Okay.
Done. Easy peasy. So you're helping your event. You're pushing that. You're reminding them who you're against. So if it's someone they like, they're like, okay, this is going to be sweet. And then you're going to tell them you're going to get them. You're going to, you're going to hit them hard. And then that's it. And that's exactly what he did. But
he literally just did the ABCs of a promo. Huh?
Yeah. Okay. And he did it, like, of course he's one of the greatest of all time. People can argue that he is the greatest, but it was just like, you thought he would do more, especially being a super show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it didn't feel, other than Evolution, I think that was the only, like, it just made sense for them to put Ray on there. And, but like, let's say Batista wasn't there. Then, okay, then we have Ray and Edge. Maybe they'd do something else. It seemed like Raw 25 was much.
It was bigger in scope for sure. Yeah. 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 You know, I think those are all fair points. I just think, you know, it's, at this point, his appearances are limited in scope for good reason.
At least they got to see him. Yeah. That's one thing. At least they got to see
him. They got an entrance out of him. They got him to say a few words, and that's it. You're right. Like, you could have him, you know, squash somebody or something like that. But they just, I don't know. They're being very careful with his physical motions these days. You know what? This actually brings us pretty smoothly into this next little segment here, because we are still, as a show, and listeners of this show are still getting to know you. So we have not talked about some of your favorite wrestlers and why they are. Like, I'm sure people have heard, you know, when I was a little kid, it was all about Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan. I was Ultimate Warrior guy. My cousin was a Hulk Hogan guy. And, you know, Ultimate Warrior wins, and it was amazing for me. And I just remember that moment. Then, of course, later on, I was just really into like guys like Stone Cold and The Rock and stuff. But let's, you know, where do you kind of start? Who were like the guys who kind of got you in?
So I started, if you listened last week and with now, I started like 06, 07.
Yeah.
So I said right when the Benoit and the Eddie Guerrero thing happened. So that's right where I got into it. And this is what I get in the backlash for the wrestling community all the time. I've seen one WCW match, and I think that was forced upon me. I don't think I've ever seen a WWF match.
Wow.
I think – well, no.
Like before they switched to WWE, you mean?
I saw one.
Okay.
Because – and that will lead into why my favorite wrestler is this person. So favorite of all time – this is favorite. I'm not going to say best. That's completely different. Favorite is Edge. I think Edge – for me – so if you think about when I started, I keep talking about him and John Cena. Like that was the spinning – WWE Championship, like with the little bedazzle on it.
That CM Punk had to have for a while, which was super weird. Yeah.
And it was just so good. And especially when CM Punk came in after their feud and with Randy Orton and Edge's. And think of like, I'm going to get really weird here. As a young child, having a sex celebration on TV, like you're in the other room, your eyes are huge. And that's a, like our company talked about getting Lita and Trish together. And I told him, I can't pick them up. Like they, as a young child, like that's all I can think about. And it's just stuff like that, like the rebellious, but just, I don't know. Most people aren't like me. I always root for the villain, like okay. In the movies. Like I'm like the in Karate Kid. I vote for William Zabka. I'm okay. Like, yeah, he's their true hero. And then with John Cena and Edge. And at the time I always watched with adults, and then same with Roman Reigns now. People didn't really like John Cena back then. Like he was getting the Uber push, and I'm like, yeah.
So is this John Cena right after Thuganomics? Yeah. John Cena, yeah, like right when he started to become hustle, loyalty, respect kind of stuff, right? Like,
yeah, that's why. And I think I came in right after Edge's cash in, so I'm like, man, he is the coolest dude. And then it started to wane for me when he married Vicky Guerrero.
Yeah, like, things got a little weird there for a second. Yeah.
This is weird. Yeah, I'm a giant Edge mark, man. Okay. Anything, I get to meet him in North Carolina next month. There's a thing called WrestleCade in North Carolina, which is like a convention for – it's all wrestling, and there's a wrestling show going on. Mm-hmm. And last year, Joey Mercury and Morrison teamed up for the first time there, and that was the big thing.
Sweet.
And I didn't get to go, and he's going to be there. So, yeah. But I have like – he's my favorite of all time. I got a favorite now. I got favorites on the indies.
Yeah, well, okay, like, who's your favorite now? A WWE favorite now.
Man,
who do
I
you really like in WWE?
I think I always vote for Rusev, like even because I see him as like the underdog, but I think him as a guy is really funny, like outside, yeah. like outside of WWE. I think he's – and I like the top guys. Like I always like Dean Ambrose, but since he's been gone for so long, and I kind of like what they're doing now, but Rusev, he's – yeah, you always want to win. He's like the Becky Lynch for me. Like everyone was voting for Becky or trying to get Becky the title. And then my favorite indie has to be Joey Ryan.
I think he
changed the indie scene by himself. Like if you like it, if you don't, some people that like the old Hogan Warrior, like the more aggressive, don't like the comedy wrestling. And that's in the business as well. I know some promoters that won't book him because they're like, I don't want that any comedic wrestling on my show. I want just intense power, but you can't just go intense the whole time. You need
to break that up with some fun.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And he's the king of that right now. You know what though? To me, his character isn't all just the joke, right? There's a lot of like ravishing Rick Rude in there to me too, and stuff like that, where it's also kind of seriously like, I'm a real man. This is what a real man looks like. That kind of stuff too. And then kind of making it a little bit cartoonish on top of that, but then also doing it in a super funny way. I mean, everything from like the members only jacket to the lollipop is just like perfect character work.
And I've got to spend a lot of time with him. We had him at one of our shows and I drove him around. I drove him to a show in Knoxville, which is like 4 hours away. Mm-hmm. It was a TNA Twitch stream against. So if you get enough TNA or Impact workers, they'll have like your brand versus their brand.
Mm-hmm.
So even though Joey Ryan used to be for Impact, he was the local their guy versus it was Eli Drake.
Oh, nice.
But so I got to like hang out, we ate dinner, we ate all this stuff, and just talking about like the gimmick, and it's different.
Yeah,
it's,
well, it's, he's found a way to not have to take a bunch of bumps and just make a lot of money.
Longevity.
Yeah,
longevity. Your body has X number of bumps. I don't care who you are. And I told him this too. I said, I think your gimmick will be better as an old man when you're a curvy old man.
Oh yeah.
And because you're like, touch it, and you're like 60 years old, like a Ric Flair.
Oh, I just, my God.
It'll be better. And like, he can make good amount of money. Mm-hmm. Like, he, man, he's just good. He's,
so do you think Joey Ryan will ever have a legitimate WWE run? Because I know he has worked as like a jobber for them before.
As Joey Ryan, no.
But maybe as some version of,
because he does character. It for Lucha Underground.
Yeah.
So he does the cop character. He said, basically, I asked him about that. He said that Lucha Underground won't let him do the, what is it, the Dick style, whatever. King of Dong style. That's what
the King of Dong style. Yeah.
He's a police officer, but when they're doing like their matches after, what do they call it? When everything goes, yeah.
For people who aren't clear, too, like Lucha Underground is presented as like a television show about a wrestling show, kind of a thing.
Telenovela, yeah. That has to deal with wrestling.
Yeah.
So like a dramatic soap opera type. And I've tried to watch.
Think
a lot
of like Glow, but with more wrestling. Like,
I spend a good time with Matt Cross, who's Son of Havoc, and I always tell him I try to watch it, but it is just like a very soap opera type. But
the realm of wrestling, which is kind of cool. It's hard to create something completely different. They really have.
Well, and you can't compete. You can't be WWE. You got to be your own thing. Mm-hmm. So, and then that's why indie wrestling, because it's their own thing. And he said for Lucha Underground, he gets to do like the dark matches as him. But he said sometimes he may sign with them. Sometimes it's different. I just think the money's too good.
I think he's doing great right now. So also another thing about Joey Ryan that people may not know is he's one of the founders of PWG, which is like known as kind of the premier indie wrestling show. That's where like they have the best indie wrestling matches
in the country. You want to say that's top three, top two?
I mean, as far as like straight up popularity and like the names that they get, you know, it's kind of, it's, and also apparently PWG is like, literally just like NXT like minor leagues or whatever, like,
yeah,
they go there and look at guys that, so that's, yeah, the whole thing is kind of interesting. All right, so that's, yeah, these are some good names. I'm gonna go with Kevin Owens and WWE right now. Of all time, that's like super hard to say, but like
top three.
Can but you, yeah, like probably a like list? the guy that like The guy that always made me like really happy to see was just Stone Cold, right? Like, I was just, you know, just at the time, like, there was like no, when he showed up to do anything, it was just like the greatest thing ever. And then I'd say indie wrestler right now, I gotta go with my boy Sammy Guevara. I'm loving Sammy, and also I really like he's doing. If you guys don't know Sammy Guevara, he's also blogging his entire career as an indie wrestler or vlogging on YouTube. Definitely go check out his YouTube channel. We should try to get him on the show at some point, talk about that, because it's a really cool thing where you're seeing, you know, the kind of the arc, the rise, how this works to go from being nobody in the industry to suddenly being, you know, somebody who's pretty sought after nowadays and is actually like, you know, heading to Japan, going to Mexico all the time. He's holding some titles now. He's got a AAA title, so It's really cool because you can kind of follow that progression. If I go back a year on his vlogs, I think he's done about 180 of them now. It's a very different thing. He's like going to Corpus Christi and like whatever. And now it's like, no, I'm going to Japan and Mexico. So very cool. Definitely go check him out. All right, let's move on to some more serious topics of conversation. It's a weird time in wrestling right now because it's just a weird time in the world. So I don't want to get into the gory details. We'll just talk about the WWE facing side of things here. And I'm sure a lot of people have heard. I'll just brief synopsis. In a Turkish consulate, apparently a reporter was murdered by 15 Saudi Arabian interrogators. Not really. Yeah. Like, I don't want to get into the details here, but it's
when we need jury.
They cut him up with a bone saw. Yeah, it's the whole thing is disgusting. And the rumor is that the crown prince knew about it. And this is, by the way, the crown prince that the WWE is like literally working with to set up these shows, right? They have since come out and essentially not denied it, essentially kind of admitted to it, but said that these were like rogue agents doing something and they're going to get punished. So now it just sounds like more people are going to get murdered by Saudi Arabians. The whole thing is just very dark and grim and disgusting. And just...
and we're bringing this up not just to talk politics, but the November 2nd, the crown jewel.
Yes.
Another Saudi Arabia pay-per-view, which they're paying for. First one being Greatest Royal Rumble back in April. And a lot of controversy.
Yeah, there was an entire episode of John Oliver talking about Saudi Arabia, and a big chunk of that was spent talking about WWE and their dealings with them. And because also at the Greatest Royal Rumble, for people who watched that, there was a lot of it's like there's just a lot of praising of the country and its new direction and how it was becoming more progressive and this fantastic country is hosting us and all this stuff. And like John Cena came out, did a whole promo about Saudi Arabia. And it just felt like there was just, there was a lot of like just caressing and fondling of Saudi Arabia by WWE. And I know they're getting paid a lot of money. If they do that again this time, it's going to be real awkward, right?
Well, because I think things have happened since then. Like, the greatest thing we got out of Greatest Royal Rumble is Titus World Slide. That was like the memeiest thing ever. But you got to think, remember, they got fined for one of the promos. Like, they showed an advertisement with a woman on it, and everyone's like, and then the women were allowed to go.
Yep.
But they were paid.
They were essentially, I don't know if that was ever confirmed, but apparently they got paid as if they worked the show.
And plus Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn was added to that because of his Syrian charities.
Yeah.
And what he does, he got what did he get? He got some disease, like they said, like he got vertigo. He got vertigo is what they said is how they wrote him off for that. Here's how I see if WWE went to the women, they just said, hey, they don't want you here per law. We're going to pay you. And then we're going to give you your own all women's pay-per-view. Yeah. And this is the controversy that we started up in the Discord. And we had a real good discussion about just seeing everyone's views is it right saying you can't be there, but we'll give you money?
I'll be honest. Like I think there needs to be more of a stepping stone than that. Like we are negotiating a way to get you there at some point soon. Yeah. The idea is baby steps. It seems a little dirty to be then negotiating like an all women's pay-per-view as some sort of, you know, payback redemption for that, because it's like you should already be doing that, right?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be just because we have the Saudi Arabia event. That should just be, it should be an annual evolution, right? Like that's because at this point, if you want to talk about the women's revolution and being, you know, this amazing time in women's wrestling, why isn't that just already on the docket of things to do, right?
And so they're a week apart. Or less than a week. One's Sunday, one's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That Friday of that week.
No, because you don't need them to work the other events.
You don't, and you hold everyone over. The only problem I have is what we talked about in the beginning is it makes the workers unsettled. Like
I've heard that the locker room doesn't feel very good about going this time.
Because now with but what you brought up in the beginning to put everything together, they're just scared they'll like something's gonna happen. Like what if? Because
if they can murder a reporter, just have no fear about doing it, right? Like apparently it's like recorded and like they just don't seem to give a crap, you know. And I think it's because they know Saudi Arabia understands their place in the world, right?
Yeah.
They kind of get to do whatever they want because oil money is massive.
But this is the reason they brought in WWE is what they said in the beginning is like, hey, we're going to take all this oil money, invest it into tourism.
Sure.
Then hopefully this makes it like, hey, we're not a real scary place, but in the middle of all this, make it so we think you're a scary place. And you can
maybe
you
just
can
don't be a scary place for real. And then eventually people won't think of you that way anymore.
And they're trying to, I think that you said this too, it's trying to be rushed. But did WCW or WWF go to Korea back in the day?
Not to my knowledge.
I heard this story. This is from someone I talked with on the road. I'll find it for
did
next
they do
week.
Like a secret show there or something?
They did. I think it was North.
Okay.
I think they went to North, or they went when everything was bad, and then
wow.
someone was talking on the phone about how bad the country was, and they got arrested.
Yeah.
Like while they're
you're not
like,
allowed to say anything bad about the country yeah. at all. Yeah. And I've heard like anytime a Westerner goes there, they essentially have like chaperones with them at all times and things like that. So that's interesting. So there's a couple of things too, which make the whole thing feel a little bit shady. Oh, there you go. Clinch in the chat room. Just WCW did a
Perfect.
Show. WCW and New Japan. So anyway, just to kind of tie things in though a little bit more, and why there's like a lot of shadiness here, is that you also have some weird stuff going on with Donald Trump, our president, and Saudi Arabia. Because this seems like something that we should just be denouncing outright, right? But he's kind of going, oh, well, they told me that they didn't do it. But then you've also now got Linda McMahon, who is the wife of Vince McMahon, is in Donald Trump's cabinet. All of this just feels very tied together and then very like shady to me. So
this
it's
getting too real to me, if that makes
sense.
Yeah,
like, the first time with that Greatest Royal Rumble, we were like, okay, no women. That was like the biggest controversy. Now we're talking about like murder and oh man, it's just
because think in like as a business owner perspective, that means you're taking these 50 to 100 people, how many it is,
mm-hmm.
and putting them in danger.
Yeah,
like you can't guarantee their safety. You can't say this won't or will happen.
Yeah, once you step onto that soil, it's just, you know, it's your you're in their house.
There's rumors everywhere that they're going to cancel it, that they're going to. That's why I said the asterisks at the beginning.
I don't think they will, though. They're clearly going forward with it when they're talking about it on last night's SmackDown.
Yeah. Like, you would have heard something. It's just they paid for Shawn Michaels. I get like they paid for all the like I feel like WWE feels like they're too deep in.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like one thing bad needs to happen. And it's just going to hit the fan.
Hopefully this all just goes off without a hitch and everybody comes back safe and sound with all their limbs. Nobody gets hacked up with a bone saw. But it's one of those things where I'm like, man, I don't want to lose respect for you, WWE. But man, it feels a little spineless right now just to not stand up to something. So anyway, I'm pretty sure it's happening in Saudi Arabia. It's going to go forward as planned.
I give it an 88% chance it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There you go. 88%.
Very,
very,
very
scientific. All right. Let's move on to something a little more fun, perhaps, in the world of wrestling, but also something super weird and interesting. So you actually texted me about this because I did not watch.
Oh yeah, completely forgot.
I did not watch this live. Did you watch? What was it? It was Bound for Glory.
Bound for Glory. It was. I told some of my friends that were like, I told them that I was going to watch it and. Some of the people I know that are on Impact, I told them like, "Oh, I may watch this," but
Impact is going through a bit of a renaissance right now too. Like, I think we should kind of preface this conversation with: if you're not watching Impact, there has been moments in that company's career where fantastic things were happening, right? I mean, AJ Styles was there, Samoa Joe was there, you know. Then you also had the weird time where Hulk Hogan was the GM and his daughter was sleeping with Bully Ray, and there's a lot of weirdness as well. And then they also had the six-sided ring, which apparently bumped like a son of a bitch. And then they've had some weirdness going on there, but they've also had some of the greatest matches. Like the women's division there is insane. The X division there has put on some insane matches. I've seen some of the craziest bumps ever in Impact. You have Woken Matt Hardy. Came out of there, like there's been a lot of greatness that's come out of there, and recently they've been doing a lot of really good things that have kind of caught the eye of the wrestling world. So now bring us to this feud with Austin Aries and Johnny Impact, which is Johnny Mundo, which is Johnny fucking a million things.
Johnny Morrison, Johnny everything.
Yeah. By the way, I'm so excited. I've not watched a single episode of the current season of Survivor, but he's on it. And I'm very, I'm going to binge it when it's
all
done.
That's the rumor that why this is happening.
Oh, like, really?
Why you said that they're going to, that this is just rumors. This is all the dirt sheets that if he wins Survivor, this is why he's the champion of Impact, and it's like a cross branded almost.
Interesting.
And on the back side, you talk about all the roller coasters, everything that happened. Remember, they were on Spike, and now they're off like normal cable. Now they even got moved to a later time, being 10 o'clock, and all of the different being sold, being bought, being sold. And then now come to Johnny question mark versus Austin Aries.
Yeah. And the way that this match ended, so first of all, really, really good match. I did go back and watch. I didn't watch the entire match live, but I watched like highlights of it, and there was some insane spots. Johnny Impact did the jump up onto the ring and the barricade, and then flipped backwards. Like it was insane. So they put on just a really good match. At the end, what do they call his finishing move in Impact? Because I know it was Starship Pain or whatever in.
Oh, I just think it's still that.
Is that still what it is?
Okay. Just put it in the chat because I have no idea.
Yeah. So he hits that at the end. That's his finishing move. Gets Austin Aries clean in the middle of the ring. 1, 2, 3. He gets up. He starts doing the, you know, I'm in pain, but celebrating that I'm now the new champion. Austin Aries immediately pops up. Just immediately.
When I was watching it, because it was just a clip, because right when it happened, it caught fire.
Yeah.
And see, on Morrison Mundo, whatever the hell it is, you're supposed to sell it like both your ribs hit, like your stomach hit, and like you put everything into it, and you sell for like a second. And right when like he got up, Austin Aries acted like he just fell from like a run. Like he just, like nothing happened. Not like holding his head, not holding his gut.
No, he got up like there was not a problem in the world. And then he started motioning at people. He steps out of the ring. He starts yelling something at Don Callis. I don't know exactly what
the quote was. It was like something like, is that good enough for you? Or is that what you wanted?
OK. All right.
And then another angle shows Johnny saying, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. Well, John Morrison is like, what the hell are you doing? Like, he's clearly, you know. Not happy about
the situation. This man's time. Yeah, he's ruining. Johnny just got this title, big star, and he to even get him to come to your show, he is a huge amount of money.
Like, Morrison right now is like one of the biggest names in indie wrestling by a huge margin, and for good reason. I mean, the guy is freaking incredible. So then he walks out, starts flipping off the crowd and everything.
Yep.
And you know, nobody knew. Apparently, okay. So this is what I have now heard, and I'm not going to be able to confirm or deny any of this, but what my understanding is, none of the wrestlers in the back knew about this either, right? So they all thought this is a shoot.
Just being a dick. Yeah,
they're like, screw you, Austin Aries, holy crap, I can't believe you just did that. You know, that's not how we do this. You know, we're putting on a show here. I don't care if you're pissed off. By the way, Austin Aries already kind of has a reputation as being a little bit of a prima donna, you know, a little bitch sometimes. He left WWE kind of in a huff because he wasn't happy with the direction his character was going. And with good reason. I mean, 205 Live wasn't really getting him anywhere and he kept losing. So, you know, I get it. But now he's, you know, here on Impact. He's the champion. Things are obviously like going well. Really just losing your title once, like that's it. You can't, that's just too
do
far,
you, think,
you know? Like,
is
on.
This a worker or a shoot?
So,
what's the vote?
So the what I hear now though is that it is a work, that they were just making sure that it comes off as a shoot by not telling anybody about it. The idea was that he would show up on a few other promotions to really sell the fact that he's walked out on Impact, and then after a certain amount of time would come back to Impact and, you know, be a thorn in Don Callis' side, right?
The only problem I have with this is it didn't make him, it made him look like an absolute dick, which they wanted, but it undercut and buried John Morrison at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, sold a man's finisher and interrupted him when he got the title for the first time since he's been there, right? Like that's like that was a big thing. And it what could have happened is why I think it's still a shoot. Why I think, and this is just me as a worker, that when it happened, he could have rolled out of the ring, waited on Johnny to like walk to the back, whatever, and then like yell at Don Callis and then do the whole bird. But it's that he did it during the celebration.
Sure. Yeah. Like, he immediately took all of the, like, all of the attention off of.
Yeah. And Johnny, if he would have waited a minute or like sold the finish at all.
Yeah.
Like that's, and I've always heard that being one finish that it deals nothing to you. And it's a gorgeous, that Starship Pain is gorgeous. And it's all on him. And it's basically almost like taking like anything from the top rope, I guess. And then, but it's just,
I mean, in kayfabe, the idea is that when he springboards, spins. He's springboarding down and adding force, right? Similar to like the Red Arrow, right? Neville's finisher. Why would spinning and twisting in the air matter at all? But it's like the aerodynamics of it, you know, makes me hit harder than, say, just the regular old splash off the top, right? And like that kind of stuff is cool. I love it. I love that kind of stuff. And you're right. It's a super cool finisher. And it was a great match. And then everything is taken, like, no one's even talking about how good the match was. They're just talking about this. So I'm with you. I'm kind of, if it is a work, it is also to me like, why did you have to do this storyline, right? Like, there's so many other things you could do here that are great. And if you want to do that storyline too, maybe you do it on their next match. Like, you don't do it on this one, right? But I, you know.
The one thing I see about that is we're talking about it. So if it is a work, then it has shocked everyone.
It is working. Literally.
Yes. Yeah. It's caused controversy.
Yeah.
By wrestlers and by fans alone, that, because I believe all wrestlers are fans, I no matter what. So all the fans, that this has caused people to look at Impact. I'm sure if we see that scene, like the shot in the original video, I mean, it's huge of people watching him walk out.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it a bunch of times and people aren't even talking about Ellsworth showed up that night.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, because of what happened here,
yeah,
this is just a huge thing, and it's good on them. If it's a work, good on them. If it's a shoot, gosh, you're a dick, man.
Yeah, I know, right? But if it's a shoot, it's going to be hard for people to want to ever work with this guy again, because that's just a super dick move. But
I don't want to book him. Like, if I do help with the company and I do a lot, but I kind of like, I'll sometimes help with booking and they'll listen to suggestions. Why? Like,
yeah,
that's,
you wouldn't want that guy to show up at your show. There's and like do a something
list.
Like this.
There's
yeah.
like a list of people, like ones that actually shoot on. It's the people that shoot. And mm-hmm. what we talk about shooting is breaching the line from kayfabe to real. Like, kayfabe being the reality on which wrestling's taking place. Shoot being breaking that and coming into the real world.
Yeah.
It's the people that either break limbs on purpose, which I now learned the low key biting off the ear from last week
yeah,
was
I
a
heard
work.
About that. Yeah.
That was a work.
Okay.
And, but it's the people that actually, like, Sexy Star from a few years ago, mm-hmm. she's yeah. on the list.
Sure. Like, or like a guy like JBL with the blue meanie, I would put him on the list too.
That, and it's just stuff yeah. like that, like people that you don't want hotheads because you don't want something to happen. Like
New Jack is on the list.
At the same time, you and I clicked at the same time. Yeah. And one of my good friends that I wrestle with is very close to New Jack. And I said, I am too scared. Yeah. I am so
Hell
scared.
No, would I ever do anything with that guy? Yeah.
Didn't he stab a
guy? Yeah, he literally like stabbed somebody hoping to kill them in the ring. Didn't kill them, but hurt them very badly. You know, that guy is. All right. Well, we'll see where this goes here. You are correct. People are paying attention. I probably would not have given a crap about, I would have been like, oh, Johnny Impact won. That's cool. But instead I'm very much now paying attention to what's going to happen here with this. And we'll see. We'll keep you guys, informed as we go forward doing the show. Show should be back at its normal time next week. Unfortunately I had internet issues on Monday due to the stormy nature of Austin right now. It sucks. It's freezing cold outside and always raining. It's just really annoying. So hopefully we're stable and good. We'll have much more wrestling to talk about next Monday. So come join us again. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out for the show today. Thank you, Lane. By the way, tell people where they can find you outside of this show.
Well, they can find me at LaneTheMain on Twitter. You can find me in the Discord. It's only $1 a week. Come talk to us. We have a great time. And also, the topic of the day is, what happened to Kevin Owens? Mm. That's what we are talking about now.
We're going to dissect that in there.
because we have no idea what's going on. So
somewhere he hurt his legs. I don't know. Yeah, you check me out on Twitter. I'm at Willie Dills. Justin Robert Young is hopefully going to be joining us at some point soon because he wanted to kind of let us get the show back up and running. But we'll have some interesting pay-per-view stuff to talk about within the next couple of weeks here. So, you know, hopefully he'll be back on the show too. So check us out there. Find us patreon.com/1900wrestling. Search 1900 Wrestling and all your favorite podcast apps to find them. And you can find the VODs for this on my channel, youtube.com/WheelieDills. All right. So thanks, everybody, again. And until next week, be dialing.
Remember the number 1900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena.
Well, look at this prima donna.
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot.